It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here, just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend, man. Here we are on the holiday weekend. I hope that you're doing something comfy and fun with your family this weekend. I know that we're going to be doing the same. Too damn cold to get in the pool. I haven't even turned the heater on with these 40-degree nights all week. I was like, this ain't going to work. So we're going dry for the holiday weekend. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
Hey, thanks, Jop. Thanks, Conrad. Welcome to the Grilling Guys. It is the smokiest show on the airwaves. And that's why I say Memorial Day to Labor Day on the pool.
Right.
Because
it isn't going to work.
I was getting pressure to open it a couple weeks ago when it got up to in the 80s.
Right. That's when it happened for me.
And we live in the Oaks, and we got a ton of just green funk that comes in, and I'm so glad I didn't open it.
Yeah. So I got it clean, but it isn't any warm. It's just 60 degrees in there right now, and anybody who wants to jump in is welcome to, but I'm a long ways from getting it ready to swim in, so... We're gonna have a dry weekend, just as it goes for the pool. That is, probably we'll have a beer or two and throw a steak on the grill, because you know what, quintessential weekend to begin the grilling season. If you haven't got your grill out yet, you're way behind. This is the time you should be firing it up and getting some people together, enjoying whatever it is that you like on the grill, because it's time, baby. It is time. So, Bob and I had a tag team barbecue for the South Kent Ducks Unlimited last week, and this is a testament to a grilling prowess when you get thrown a big curveball. And Bob was doing some contract smoking for me because I had too many irons in the fire and had too much stuff going on, so he stepped up to bail me out. And we brought, I don't know how many was there, like there's 150 pounds of brisket, I know that, and about a similar amount of butts. And
yeah, way more butts.
Right. And so, you know, damn if we didn't get it done, but in the middle of that, he has a storm that blows a tree over his driveway and takes his power out. And whoa. It wasn't just for a few minutes. This was like 4 or 5 days, his power's out, but he muscled through. And you know, the smoker doesn't take any power. That's flame, right? So, but it's dark all the time. You got no water. I mean, he's got a generator he hooks up, so he had some water. But my point is, house was not functioning, right? But he still pulled it off.
Oh, on top of that, my wife's gone.
Well, that probably made things easier for you because you could work at your pace then.
And my son's gone at a bachelor's party, so I've got his wife and two kids there. So I'm really kind of...
Well, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, I'm really kind of taking care of...
your daughter-in-law and your grandkids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So anyway, as things go, it's delayed because it's cold out, and that big old iron smoker, it cooks, but it cooks slower when it's cold. You know, and it was 40 degrees at night, so, and he's cooking overnight. I get done with the gig. Chaz went out and picked him up. That's how crazy my life was, and picked up enough for the banquet that we did. And but then there was some left over by design because I wanted some to put in the freezer. And I meet Bob at the neighbor's house at like 12:30 in the morning in their driveway because he has to drive, put the cooked meat in his, what did he call that thing, a gator or not a gator? But
mule.
Your mule. Drive it through the woods. He's talking to me. All of a sudden he's like, oh, I just turned the wrong way. And then I hear his thing going, backing up. And then I hear him going forward again. And he emerges out of the woods with a cart full.
Well,
of
I'll tell
meat,
you, I,
it was crazy.
Our section is 2 miles east to west and 1 mile north to south.
Right.
So I had to go from, I'm kind of in the middle of it.
Yep.
And I had to go, oh, I don't know, a half mile to my neighbor's.
Right.
He's got a 10 that backs up to me.
Yeah.
And a great guy, but he wasn't home.
Yeah.
So the first time I went out, there was daylight and I met Chaz and I had Elwin with me.
Right.
And
the granddaughter.
Yes. Yep. My grandkids love big trucks. So Chaz comes up in his diesel. She didn't even see him.
Right. Yep.
But the next time when I met you, it's 12:30 at night.
Right. And we're transferring 200 pounds of meat to the back of my car. And your cooler's all clean, by the way.
Well, and as my son said when he was little, it was big dark.
Yeah, exactly. It was.
So I did put extra lights on the mule, but still, it's not like nearly as good as, you know, having a big 4x with high beams and all this stuff.
Right.
It's a mule.
I have to tell you, it felt a little clandestine. I mean, I'm wheeling in somebody else's driveway.
Oh, yeah.
At 12:30 at night, it's dark.
When you're in my neighborhood?
And then emerging from the woods comes a cart full of stuff, and we make a transfer, and then I go one way, and he goes the other.
You get shot doing stuff like that in my neck of the woods.
I'm just glad there wasn't a county cop watching all that stuff going on, because it could have looked crazy what we were doing. But it was all innocent, and life's good. But, man, what a weekend.
Yeah.
What a weekend that was.
Yeah.
So a lot of fun. That was last weekend we did that, but... the shit we do. Pardon my French.
It is crazy. But going back there in the dark at 12:30, when I was talking to you, I thought I was turned around. No, I was right where I wanted to be, but looking at the back of my neighbor's barn in pitch black,
it looked like the black hole.
Looked different, and I thought, holy cow, I pulled up on the wrong neighbor. So then I came around the side, and it's like, oh, no, I'm good. Oh, there's Jot pulling up right now.
Yeah, right. But anyway.
So the next day I went back and my neighbor was home and I said, if you're wondering what all these 4x tracks are all over here, it was me.
So the moral of this story is we made a bunch of extra pulled pork by design. I put it in a vac sealer in probably 5-pound bags and then threw it in my freezer. Because if you're planning a party this summer, such as this weekend, you're a little behind, but... for the 4th of July or whatever.
We can help.
Right. But also, I know that I've got 2 or 3 of these things coming up for the summer that are at my house. And the last thing I want to do is have that big smoker out in my driveway cooking pork. So we pre-cooked for the summer.
Well, and here's the cool thing that Chef Schultz got us into. Sous vide.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Oh.
Is because now they're frozen, it's cooked, it's seasoned, it's ready to go.
You get a little pail of water?
Right, yep, and you put this sous vide machine, and it's a heater that circulates water. And you set it to 155 degrees, whether you leave your pork in there 3 hours or 10 hours.
Looks like my wife's curling iron.
Right, yeah, exactly. But it never is going to go above 155 degrees.
Or whatever you set it at.
Right, yeah, whatever you set it at, good point. Because it circulates water, and it only heats the water to the temperature that you set it at. So anything that's in the water eventually becomes that temperature, but it never gets any warmer because it's in a water bath inside the sous vide bag. So it's a wonderful tool.
So convenient.
Right. But so you're going camping this summer. I take a block of that frozen pork out, and I use it for ice in my cooler.
Time out.
Right.
He's so full of it.
No.
Have you ever seen this guy camp?
No. I'm saying you're going camping.
Oh,
I'm not.
Okay.
But where I'm going, what this amounts to is you've got built-in ice that'll turn into a meal, okay, because this block of pork is frozen. Throw it in the bottom of your cooler, and by the second day or the third day that you're there, it's going to be thawed. You can heat it up again, and you've got dinner all cooked, ready to go, fresh pulled pork.
A lot of people will do that with their packs of hamburger.
Right.
Just throw them in. That's your ice.
Sous vide. Help me. What are you talking about? So you put the meat.
It looks like a lady's curling iron.
Okay.
And
it bolts on the side of a pot.
You have a gauge on top, digital readout. You set the temperature you want. It heats up, and it has a little circulator in it, so it like jets the water around. And it warms the water to whatever you set it at, and it just keeps it there.
So are you warming up
in the bag?
In the bag.
Yeah. And, so that's why.
So this is after it's cooked and after it's frozen.
So, we'll start over, because if you got a question, probably a lot of other people do too.
Okay.
I had cooked pulled pork; it's ready to eat. So I let it cool down, and then you've got one of these vac sealers that you put stuff in plastic bags to preserve in the freezer.
Right.
Right. So I let it cool down. I vac sealed it, and then I put it in the freezer. So it's there now. Okay, tomorrow, if I want to use it, I pull it out of the freezer, and I get a pot, and I fill the pot with water and put the bag of meat in it.
Oh, I see.
Put the sous vide in it, turn it to 155 degrees. 3-4 hours later, the meat's heated up. It's inside the bag, so all the juices are there. When you're ready to eat, cut the top off the bag, put it on a plate, boom. You're eating hot, fresh pork.
We got off on a tangent there, and we're over time. So I'm going to – the producer is going to take a break right now. And we'll be right back with the Grilling Guys.